All right. Well, my first question I had for you is, how long have you been with the Blues Brothers Review?
The Blues Brothers Review has been going for probably, I would think, 16, 17 years.
Wow.
It originally, how that happened, though, is rather interesting, because originally, Dan Aykroyd and Judy Belushi put together a show in Chicago, a theater show called The Blues Brothers Revival.
Right, I think I remember that.
And so myself and Kieran, my partner in Blues Brothers World, made the audition, and we were working with them in that show. So, you know, we became close working together and learning about the characters and whatnot. And then when that run ended with the revival show, you know, we were talking, and we thought, you know, it would be really good to sort of tour a live show, and we'll call it the Blues Brothers Review, and it would be like what the Blues Brothers did in 1978 and 79 when they were touring with Steve Martin and, you know, different performers opening shows and doing things like that. And it was more of a concert show with Jake and Elwood. So we thought, let's put a show together that way. Like, let's bring that part and that element of the music and of the characters to a stage. So we've been doing, and that's how the review was created, in which we've been doing ever since we ended the revival, if that makes sense.
No, yeah, that makes sense to me. So with that, the original Blues Brothers Revival, what was that audition process like?
Oh man, that was killer. it was really funny because Judy and Dan, I guess, they knew of us because we were doing, Kieran and myself were doing Legends in Concert, a John Stewart production out of Las Vegas, which is a show that has a bunch of different people doing different characters in little, you know, 12 to 15 minute segments. So there could be a show and it would have, you know, an Elvis and Marilyn Monroe and, you know, whoever. Garth Brooks, whatever, and they would just sort of go on the stage for 15 minutes at a time, and so we were doing that show, and A&E got a hold of us, saw the show, and got a hold of us, and they wanted to do a documentary film on, because, you know, I'm Canadian, and Kieran is as well, and, you know, we were doing this Las Vegas show, and they wanted to do a documentary film that sort of was what's it like to be Canadian and go and live in Las Vegas, and you're playing two, you know, characters in a place where nothing is real, kind of sort of angle of it all. And we ended up doing this this documentary film called Lost in Las Vegas. And I guess Dan and Judy saw that, and they reached out and asked if we would audition.
Wow.
So drove, it was, you know, it was kind of funny because it really did feel like Jake and Elwood in so many other ways, but we drove, they sent us the sides to, you know, lines and whatnot, and we had to drive to Chicago from Toronto, which is about a you know, 9-hour drive or so, and we went there, we drove there, and, you know, I was driving, and we were going over lines and, you know, going over the script and all of that and trying to get it together. And, you know, we get to this theater, and it was in a basement. And it was just like there was like a long table. And there was, I don't know, five or so people at this table, producer, directors, da-da-da-da. There was a piano, and then there was the musical director, who was Ron Walters Jr., who was the musical director for the show, and he sat behind a piano, And then, you know, they gave us a room to change in, and they called us out, and there was no props. It was just this big old cold brick room, and they pan fried us for, it felt like 2 or 3 hours. It was probably a good hour and a half anyway. And you know, there wasn't even props for us. There wasn't mic stands or anything. We were just standing there, you know, felt naked. And they would ask us to sing and do this and dance and you know, play harmonica and, you know, and just sort of banter back and forth. And you know, we did all of this, and it, like I said, it went on forever. And we had to drive back to Toronto. And we finished the audition and changed, and we had our suitcases. And I remember it was so funny because all these people are standing around, and we're going, okay, well, thanks, bye. And they're like, well, wait a minute, where are you going? And they're all kind of huddling together, and I, you know, we're going home. We're going to Toronto, where we live. Yeah, but you can't because you guys are the Blues Brothers. And it's like, what? Yeah, yo, yeah, you got the gig. And then one guy say, they even smell like them.
it was rather funny. That's funny.
And so, you know, it was from that moment on that things changed. They made us stay, and they took us out for dinner, and we celebrated, and it was, and then, you know, a week later, we had to fly back, and they had apartments for us and everything. It was quite an event and a great memory for sure.
Wow, it sounds like it. So I want to commend you on something, and I do mean this as a compliment. It's clear you're not just doing an impression of John Belushi. I mean, you're Jake. You know, you are Jake Blues. When I watch, it's just incredible. You know, you just really get lost in your performance. So I want to ask you, do you do anything, you know, special to get into character as Jake?
No, and I'm glad you mentioned that, you know, I would never, ever try and fit in John Belushi's shoes in any way. He was an incredible talent, and that was never, ever my goal. It was funny, and it is funny because, you know, I've learned a lot about the character. Mm-hmm. You know, Jake as a character, and I absolutely love the character, and it's an honor to don the hat and glasses and be that character for an hour a night. I'm lucky enough that I work closely with Judy, and talked a lot with Dan, mm-hmm. and saw a lot of clips, and you know, I kind of, in the beginning, had to learn how they thought, you know, how they think, rather, and what makes them tick.
Sure.
But, I never really made a big deal about it. I just kind of went out and did what I do, so it's not really anything that I consciously go, oh, I got to be Jake now, and da-da-da-da-da. It's just what happens. I don't know. I don't really have a rhyme or reason, but it's not nothing that I think about and dwell on in any way. I just sort of do what I do. And I always never, I've never tried to imitate him as far as voice or vocals go. I just thought, you know, I'm who I am and I'm doing this. And this is how I feel it, and this is what I know of this character. So I've just been me, basically, in my own what I've learned of the character. I brought to myself to that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do know what you mean. Because, I mean, I've seen quite a few different tribute bands, and some of them it's like, all right, they're trying way too hard to, you know, be the actual Blues Brothers. Like with you and Kieran, it's like you guys are insanely talented, but it's obvious you're not just, you know, like you said, trying to mimic John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd. You know, you're doing the band. You're making it, you know, seem like a concert rather than, you know, a scripted kind of show.
Well, yeah, because, you know, I guess what's important is we were musicians before anything. Like, you know, I'm talking even on Kieran's behalf. Kieran is a well-established harmonica player and an outstanding one at that, and a fantastic singer in his own right. He's like, I'm always impressed listening to him on stage doing his thing, and so that was what we came to the table with most importantly. I was a drummer and a singer, and it felt comfortable, when we put the suits on and stuff. It just felt comfortable, and then there's been times over the years that we've been on stage with Dan, we've been on stage with Jim Belushi, who goes out as Z Blues every now and then with Dan, and it just feels normal. It feels like family. It feels just the way it's supposed to feel, I guess. I mean, there's no weirdness. There's no. It's just the way it is, So I think being a musician really helped dial us into, because the music is really important to us, which is why we ended up getting Paul Schaefer on board to musical direct the band, and we would go every now and then. We'd go and get together with Paul, and he tweaks things and brings that whole feel, because you do know he was an original blues brother,
right?
And of the first, right? Like, he's on the Briefcase Full of Blues album. He's the man who assembled the band in the first place for John and Dan, and was musical director. So he knows this stuff inside out, and so it's important to us to keep that vibe going, because being musicians that we are, that was the most important thing, was the music, and it still is. I don't say that by not caring about Jake and Elwood. They're just part of our lives.
Of course.
It's how they would feel. The music was important to the characters as well. So it wasn't like trying to be Jake and Elwood. It was just being kind of natural and normal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Whatever normal is.
No, I'm glad you mentioned that about Kieran and his harmonica playing, because I remember the first time I saw you guys, I thought like someone was dubbing that in. Like, how do you get someone that sounds like Elwood and can play the harmonica like that? It's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. I don't know. It just happened, it wasn't planned. I was supposed to be a doctor. No, I'm just kidding.
That's funny. So do you remember when you, before you started performing as the Blues Brothers, when, you first really got into their music?
Yeah, I do remember exactly. I remember exactly because, like I said, I was a drummer, and I was very much into, I would call it hard rock at the time, blues. Which would be Led Zeppelin, and I was really motivated, and as a drummer, John Bonham spoke to me that way. I mean, I'm a Ringo Starr fan as well, but I mean, back then it was like, I loved the power and the energy that John Bonham brought to Led Zeppelin. So that was motivating me as a musician to drum. But in being in bands, and I was in original bands, I put out an album, I was in different bands that were recording acts and did a lot of touring, and everywhere I went, people used to say, do you know who you look like? And and because I was touring all the time and playing clubs and whatnot, I never got to see Saturday Night Live, because I was always on some stage in some club.
Sure.
So I never really had a connection with the Blues Brothers or with Saturday Night Live or anything. I heard people talk about it, and then I heard, that you know who you look like an awful lot. And the band members used to tell me that as well. And they used to say, you ought to put a Blues Brothers band together. And they used to tell me that. And then one time, a band member handed me a cassette tape, I'm dating myself, of Briefcase Full of Blues. And he says, here, check this out. And he gave me this cassette tape of Briefcase, and I put it on, and I remember it just freaked me out. I listened to it, and the moment I heard it, and Steve Jordan on the drums, and you know, that whole vibe just blew me away. And it was interesting because the moment I heard it, I visualized everything that's happening to me now.
Wow.
I did. And then I went, yeah, you know what? I really want to do this. And it was the music that made me go boing. And then Legends in Concert got a hold of me and blah, blah, blah. And here I am.
Well, that's kind of like Belushi's story a little bit, where he was more into the kind of heavy metal stuff till Dan Aykroyd turned him onto the blues. So that's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, I guess. I never thought of it that way. But yes, you're right. Dan did turn him on to the blues. Mm-hmm.
So I know you mentioned Led Zeppelin, Ringo Starr. Are there any other maybe blues bands or musicians that kind of inspire you when you're on stage?
Oh, I don't know that there's not. I mean, I'm inspired by everybody, really, truly. I mean, you know, well, I got to say this, honestly. I'm blown away by our own band.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so honored to be able to be on the same stage as these guys. They're so talented, and you know, I always go, oh, I can't wait! I get to have a back massage tonight, you know, because you know they just thump it out, and it's just so cool. So you know, I'm inspired by all the musicians that I'm lucky enough to hang with and share a stage with.
Yeah, they're behind you right now, aren't they?
No. No, our band is made up of incredibly talented people from all over. You know, there's a Canadian, there's different Americans from different states, rather. There's Americans from different states, rather, from California to New York to Colorado. You know, and so you know, we all fly in and meet, and it's always so good to see. It's like a brotherhood. It's so good to see us, and we hit the stage, and the energy is happening, and it's just a great thing.
Yeah.
Wonderful experience.
Yeah, absolutely, and it obviously it shows. I mean, you guys are just immensely talented, all of you, every band member there.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah, of course. So I want to ask you just the last question is just what does it feel like to bring such an iconic character kind of back to life every night? You know, I'm sure you kind of feel like a celebrity when you do that.
Well, you know, I don't ever take it for granted, and I feel like the luckiest guy in the world, and truly blessed, and I'm very thankful for Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi and Judy Belushi, and the support of Jim and Billy Belushi as well. I'm so grateful for that because without these people, this would never happen. And you know, usually I always make sure the audience understands that all of this talent and everything, it really starts where the well was dug, and it was Dan and John that dug the well, and they're the ones that you know, are the stars here. We're just lucky enough to be able to represent a small part of that.
Yeah, I like that that closing montage you guys do with all the pictures of everybody that kind of inspired the band and everybody that's worked with them. I thought that was really,
absolutely,
really neat. Yeah. Well, that's all I got for you, Wayne. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk with me.
Oh, Sam, you know what? I'm really glad we got a chance. And are we coming to your town soon?
I doubt it. We're a very, very, very small town in Iowa, but
you know, when you come out to a gig, wherever we may be, that you're able to come out, you know, give me a heads up, man, and you know, I'll get you tickets and come back and we can hang. You know, it'd be nice to meet you.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yep, that'd be a good thing.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I know I've seen you guys in Joliet and St. Charles. So if you're ever in the, whenever you're coming back to
Joliet,
the suburbs.
That's where we were with McIntyre Murphy.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, you were at that gig.
Yeah,
that's a CD now. You know, do you have that CD?
Is it really? I didn't know that.
Oh, you don't have that?
No.
You know, text me your address. I'll send you one.
Awesome. Yeah, that'd be great.
You know, you can play it on air. And I'm really proud of that CD because it's kind of a nod to John. It's not kind of. It is a nod to John. But it was the celebration of John's life, and that was on March 5th,
right.
That gig. And so we recorded it and filmed it. And McIntyre Murphy is on it, and Blue Lou Marini, and Tom Bones Malone, and Paul Schaefer. They're all on the CD, and it's so magical to me. And I think I really do. I like it. I'm surprised you don't have one. I'm going to get you one, man. I'll send you one. Text me your address and everything, and I'll make sure I send you a CD out, and you can play that on the air, too.
Yeah,
and by the way...
Yeah.
By the way, 2020 will mark the 40th anniversary of the Blues Brothers movie. So, you know, we're planning lots of stuff and looking forward to it.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. I'm looking forward to it as well.
Good. So if there's anything else, let me know. If not, do text me your thing, and I'll get you a CD off in the mail.
I will. Thanks so much, Wayne. I appreciate it.
No worries.
Have a good one.
Okay, Sam, take care.